Okay. Our scripture reading this morning comes out of John. John 9, 1 through 11. And before I pray into the word and pray into the message, I just encourage you to do some homework. So what I mean by that is, John 9 is not all that long, but it's truly important. It speaks directly to Jesus healing the blind man who was born blind. And it talks about, at the end of this passage, it talks about spiritual blindness. And so I encourage you to read this passage when you get home or in your leisure time this week and study on the Word of God found in John 9. This morning, we're only going to read 9, 1 through 11. Okay? So before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, be with us this morning as we read your Word and as we are filled, our spirits are filled by its message. And be with us as we share a message based on your Word and your intent this morning in Holy Scripture. Lord, I ask all these things now in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So found in, I'm in the New Living Translation, so if you're in a pew Bible, you're likely in a different translation. But that's okay. If you brought your personal Bible, don't worry about it. Hang on for the ride and we'll get it done. So let's find out what Jesus says here in chapter 9. John 9 and 1 through 11. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool. So the man went and washed and came back, and he could see. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg because he was blind? Someone said, no, it's not him. It just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, wait a minute. Yes, I am the same one. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they call Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Where is he now? They asked. I don't know, he replied. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning, and again, welcome back to Bethel Presbyterian Church. As always, it is wonderful to see everyone's smiling face and be with our children on this beautiful Sunday morning. So I must admit that this message is built completely around a conversation that was sparked in Bible study 2 weeks ago. Out of that conversation came many nights, and I do mean many nights, of restlessness for me, as I've been determined to share with my friend and others the importance of his purpose. Now, the Cliff Note version of the conversation in Bible study was that he questioned his purpose. He questioned his being, his current health, and how his life had changed. So this morning, I hope to share his message that I've drafted to him with you, because it meets the expectations of every Christian, in my opinion, gathered here in this room this morning. So in doing so, I hope to share with each of you the importance of your purpose as well. Last week's message touched on this just a little bit, but this week I have dove headlong into a shallow pool, and injured or not, here comes the message. I must tell you, it is candid. It's from the heart. It's given with love and respect, but it is candid. So first, I want to begin with a story. I love stories, so I want to open this message with this story. An elderly carpenter was ready to retire. He told his longtime employer, the contractor of the current job he was working on, his plans to retire from building homes once this house was completed. In doing so, he hoped to live a more leisurely life with his wife and his children and enjoy his extended family much more than he could while working. He told his employer and lifelong friend that he would miss the paycheck each week, but he wanted to retire. The carpenter said, "I have run the numbers. We'll trim a few things here and a few things there, and we're going to make it. We'll be okay. We'll live nicely." The contractor was sorry to see his good worker and friend go, but before he went, he would ask him one last favor in their stellar careers. The contractor asked his friend, the carpenter, to build just one more house as a personal favor. The job plans had been on the bench for years, and he wanted him to personally build it because of his care and his work and his work ethic and his professionalism and his ability and his talent. The carpenter said yes, but over a period of time, it was easy to see that his heart just was no longer in his work. He wanted to retire. While building the house, the carpenter resorted to shoddy workmanship and used inferior materials, and all done simply because he just simply wanted to finish sooner rather than later. It was an unfortunate way to end a dedicated and stellar career, but the carpenter was done. Stick a fork in him, done. He was finished. All those years being a true professional, doing the best always was his number one and priority in the building of his homes. But yet in the last days, weeks, and months of his final project, not another house would he ever build. He simply cut corners to close the job, to seal the deal, and to move on about his plans with his retirement. Finally, upon completion, when the carpenter finished his work, he called his employer to come to build this on the build site to inspect the home. This was normal. The employer inspected the job as anticipated, and when he walked outside onto the front porch, he told the carpenter and his friend, "Are you sure this is your best work? Are you absolutely sure?" The carpenter said, "I'm tired. It's all I have. I'm done. It'll have to do." The friend and boss asked him, "Are you sure?" He said, "I'm absolutely sure." And then the carpenter asked his friend and his boss, "Well, it passes, doesn't it? It passes muster. It's a house. It'll shed water, care for a family. It passes, doesn't it?" The employer said, "Well, yeah, it passes. But I was expecting your quality to shine through one more time. Just one more time. But okay, if that's how you feel, I understand." And the carpenter said, "I'm done." At that very moment, his lifelong friend and employer handed the carpenter the door key to the front door. On that front porch, the carpenter received the key and he heard these words, "Friend, this is your house. A gift from me to you. For all the years of dedicated friendship and service to me. Enjoy." The carpenter was shocked, and there he stood, speechless. What a shame if he had only known that he was building his own home. He would have done things just a little bit more differently. He would have taken just a little bit more time. He thought to himself, what a wreck. So it is with us. We build our lives a day at a time, often putting less than our best into building. Then with a shock, we realize we have to live in the house we have just built. If we could do it all over, we would certainly do something and many things differently. As my friend Brian Lee always says, in this life there are no do-overs. What Brian is saying here is, even though today you only have this much to give, even this is all you can give today, you must give 150% of this much. Because you're building your own home. You see, the house you're building is the house that's built for tomorrow. And in using Brian's ideology and logic, today is done. For tomorrow, today won't exist. You get no do-over. Therefore, build your house wisely. For God's house that we know to be the kingdom is already built, and you have an invitation. But the mansion, perhaps, that you are promised is based on your own craftsmanship. So that leaves me with a question. What is your purpose in life? Why are you here on this earth today? This question certainly deserves an answer, but as a Christian, it demands an answer. To help answer this question for you this morning, I want to look back at the text. Imagine being blind from birth, not being able to see the things that you love and the things that love you back. Then imagine that you are in God's creation, nature, wilderness, valleys, all the things that come with God's beauty and glory and creation, and you can't see it. But worse yet, how about the odd insult that we hear in Scripture this morning? Maybe even bringing insult to injury, perhaps. People insinuating that you are blind because of your sin or the sin of your parents. If this were the case, friends, none of you could see me this morning, and I couldn't see you. We all would be blind. But I only say this to remind you that blindness, although a physical thing for some, is not a punishment. Nor is it any other physical impairment someone may have from birth or be diagnosed with later in life. That is not a punishment. The ailments and impairments that we have as human beings are not punishments. As I grew up, we used to use the word disabled, or the term disabled. I don't like that word very much. It describes a physical impairment that makes us unable to function or participate normally, meaning we're not able. I can look around this room and see many friends that have some type of physical challenge that hinders them from being what we consider to be normal or able. None of you have a physical challenge that great. You see, all the things that I see and all the things that I see with my friend that I speak of, their challenges ignite me. They're a spiritual awakening for me. All of us have a privilege to share in each other's struggles and shortcomings, which make us stronger, which makes us better. You see, these people have a purpose, and despite the challenges, they meet God right there at that challenge. And thus we have a purpose for them and they have a purpose for us. Now I want to come back to this purpose thing, or meeting God right here in a little bit. But one place in the Bible where we find our purpose in life is John 9:1-11. Specifically in verses 1 through 3, and I'll read them to you again. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, is this man blind because of his sins or his parents' sins?" And Jesus says, "Neither. This man is not blind for any of those reasons. He is blind. This happens just to be, his impairment happens to be the work of God, so that the work of God can be displayed in his life, through his life, to others." What do we get out of this verse as followers of Christ Jesus? Well, let me share with you what I see. The first is from my grandfather, who, after studying this subject somewhere in his life, he is now deceased, knew exactly what God intended from him. Friends, he taught us as young men and women in our family that we are all born with a purpose. And that purpose is found in the Holy Word. But my granddaddy couldn't read. He couldn't read a word in this book. He could barely sign his name. He had a third grade education. But he still knew he had purpose. And so do you. The second is, as humans, unless we can see beyond ourselves, when most of us cannot, we all are born blind to our purpose. The third is where I see God's love for us. In order for us to see the purpose, it takes a miracle from God. In order for us to see our purpose in life, it takes a miracle from God. The fourth is even bigger yet. In our brokenness, in our shortcomings, we have a purpose. God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. The greatest pastoral discipleship in the world came from 12 disciples, and not one of them had a seminary degree. He qualified those who He called. God uses our brokenness, as He did the blind man's, to spread the gospel to those who cannot see any other way. Scripture tells us that the disciples immediately saw this man born with a problem. It goes on to say the disciples saw that this was certain of human nature, and this problem was that he was blind from birth, and obviously he had done something wrong, or his parents had done something wrong, and he was being punished. This is coming from the disciples. But however, Jesus saw a man born with a purpose. He didn't see a blind man. He saw a man born with a purpose. For this happened so that the work of God could be displayed in life. As Christians today, we see life through the lens of problems or purposes. Let me say this. I grant you that our problems may be big, but our purpose in life as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, are far greater, are far bigger, because we serve Jesus Christ. Friends, your purpose is always bigger than your problems. Your problems are only temporary, but your purpose is eternal. My grandfather watched the banker chain the bank door shut in Greenville during the Great Depression. Couldn't read or write. Couldn't find hope out of this book through his ability to read it. But he knew what his purpose was. And he taught it. And he lived it. The truth is that God formed us for His purpose. Thus, you have a purpose. You were created by God, and you were created for God. God says to us, let your purpose define who you are, not your problems. That's what God tells us. But we sometimes get that backwards. We allow our problems to define us and not our purpose. Friends, you were born for a purpose. Now let me caution you about what this text also says. In Scripture this morning, we also see that the disciples were blinded by a problem. Okay? Thus, so can we be blinded badly by a problem. We're no different than the disciples were. In saying this, you and I are like the blind man in this passage. Now, when I say this, you and I aren't like the blind man as far as being physically blind, but we are, in some regard, spiritually blind. Now, some of you may say, Derek, I'm not spiritually blind. And that might be true today, but I can guarantee you somewhere in your life, before you found yourself in this church or found yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ, you were blind. You were blind as a bat. But today you may not. But even as a follower of Christ Jesus, even in your faith, you will find things and problems that will blind you. Just like that. The Bible says we must be born again. And as we accept Jesus Christ, this is what it's speaking of. We no longer, after we find Jesus, or Jesus finds us, and we follow Christ in His ministry, and we work for Jesus in His kingdom, we no longer see with our physical eyes, we see with our spiritual eyes. And the Bible says the only way you are born again is when God has provided you the ability to see with your spiritual eyes. We sing about it. I think the words are, once I was blind, but now I can see. We rejoice in this ability to see. Now here's the part of the sermon that speaks directly to my friend. He's not in this room, unfortunately, this morning. He was invited. Apparently he had other obligations, and now I understand those. But even though I'm going to be speaking directly to him, I'm going to also be speaking to you. Because it applies to us all. So I begin saying this with true admiration, love, and respect for my friend. But I say it this way. It's candid, it's pointed, and it's purposeful. To him and to you, you are a miracle of God in your own creation. God's miracles don't look to lay blame or be marred down in excuse. In Scripture this morning, we see the disciples laying blame on the blind man, his sins, on his own person, or his parents. They immediately look for someone to blame. Either what had to be the man or it had to be the parents. But you see, Jesus stopped that immediately, didn't he? He's kind of like Barney on Andy Griffin. When Barney tells the sheriff, nip it in the bud. The sheriff nipped it. And so did Jesus. Jesus stopped that ideology, that thought process of the disciples immediately. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said. But this happened so that the work of God may be displayed in his life. While the disciples were only interested in fixing the blame, Jesus was only interested in fixing the person. When you are tired of playing the blame game, and we do that a lot, God has a miracle for you. If you look in the mirror, you're looking at a miracle. You might think your problem is bigger than your purpose. But God doesn't think like that. You might think that your problem is bigger than the world and you can't solve it. God doesn't think like that. For every situation, God has a miracle. For every sin, God has a Savior. We lovingly call Him Jesus. Now my friend will say, now Derek, it's going to take a miracle to fix me. My answer is, God specializes in miracles every day. Get past yourself. Quit looking with your physical eyes and start seeing yourself through your spiritual eyes. I know physical impairment is tough, and I am sure, he says, sometimes I can't see my life having any purpose any longer. My answer to that question is, it already does. You've touched lives that you have no clue who you've touched. And if you look at things with your spiritual eyes, you will see the blessings that surround you. You lovingly call them your friends. God actually said it years ago in the Bible when he said he is going to give us a promise, and I'll speak to that in a minute. My friend will also say, Derek, I'm too old to change. Can't do it anymore. I'm too old to change. My response is, well, how old was the blind man? He's not going to be able to answer that question, and I can't either for you this morning. Finally, I want to say to my friend, the purpose for which you were born is so that you work for God, and the glory of God is displayed in your life. This is why you were created. This is who created you. God wants you to be an advocate of His grace, not a maker of excuses. Our neighboring church had a sign. It may still be out there this week. It was out there last week. I commented on it to Brian when I passed by. It said, excuses are the cradle that the devil uses to put the Christians asleep. Pretty powerful statement. Tim's our communication manager. Maybe we need a sign out front ourselves. Remember this. The shepherd knows each of his sheep by name, and they know him and respond to him simply by his voice. In like Jesus, our friend, our Savior, our Redeemer, knows our personalities. He knows our attitudes, our needs, our feelings, our desires. He knows everything there is to know about us, to include our faults. Yet he still loves us, and he sees us for our purpose. He doesn't see us with our problems. This morning I declare to my friend, but also to you, if you are seated in this chapel, if you are present in this room this morning, or you can hear my words, so in the recording online, whoever hears these words, I'm speaking to them as well. I don't care if you're 8 or 80. I don't care if you're blind, you're hard of hearing, you're plagued with a physical impairment, or you find yourself depressed, or you're simply just having a bad day this Sunday morning. I don't care. You can have a culmination of all those, or you can simply have one of them. I declare this to you. Jesus Christ loves you. Personally loves you. And you are still here because you have value. Just like I told the children, they are valuable. You are valuable. And because you are still here with us this day, you have a purpose yet unfilled in Christ's eyes, and you must carry it out. You still have purpose. I told you a few minutes ago I wanted to come back to a statement about meeting God with a physical impairment. Most of those people meet God where they are. So I want to close with this. I think I said it, many people who are challenged with a physical impairment meet God where they are, right there where they are, right on the street. This is important to remember. Jesus met the blind man where he was. Remember, the man was blind from birth. He couldn't find Christ. Jesus found him. And so shall he find you. Jesus saw a blind man with purpose, and so shall he find purpose in you. Thus, quit spending your time making excuses and physically looking for God. Stop. Stop doing that. Open your heart so that your eyes can already see God's presence with you. Dismiss your impairments, whatever they may be, and when you do, you will see two distinct miracles. When you dismiss your impairments, when you give up and ask God for forgiveness, you will see two distinct miracles. On Easter sunrise service, most of you were given a flower to lay at the foot of the cross. You've already laid your burdens down. Now go define your purpose. And the two distinct miracles that you will see is the risen Lord and your true purpose. Here's your takeaway today. Wherever God has placed you this morning, He wants you to be right there. You are where you are this morning because that is what God has chosen for you. You may be in a different place tomorrow, but what I can tell you is God Almighty will be standing right beside you wherever you are. And thus you can carry out the purpose that He has called you to. It's your purpose for today. And remember my friend's words. There are no do-overs. For tomorrow, today is gone. Make the best of it. And know that where you sit this day, where you stand in the next hour, that is your purpose. And God is present with you, regardless of your impairments. Jesus promised us in the New Testament hope and future. Hope and eternal future, eternal life. Those come because we carry out our purpose. Jesus meets you where you are. You don't need to seek Him. He's already seeking you. Amen.